have in America.
All right. Well, it is good to be here. We're going to look in the book of John this morning. John chapter 4. And it'll be kind of almost, it'll go along with the Sunday school this morning. Prayer, we talked about prayer as a preparation, really a preparation for, you know, for the gospel and taking the gospel out into the world. And this morning we want to look at the importance of telling people about Jesus. When it boils down to it, that's what we need to be doing. I mean, that's what every one of us, you know, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be telling people about Jesus. You know, you say, well, I don't know this, or I don't know that, or, you know, or maybe I, you know, I just don't have a, you know, a way about it, or I just don't have a way with people. You know, you have a voice and you have a testimony if you're saved, and you share that. Tell people about Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. But John chapter 4 and verse 25, very familiar, I'm certain, account of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well here. I know I've heard Brother Dan, you know, preaching messages on this before and from these texts of Scripture here. but we want to look in verse 25. It says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." And let's stop there and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for your word. And we pray that you would just bless us today. Lord, we've come, we've assembled, Father, for various reasons, Lord. And maybe we've come just because it's just what we do on Sunday. But Father, we know that we've all been brought here by you for a reason. And Lord, we pray that you would take your word and that you would just bless it to us. Lord, that you give us all the things that we need today. Father, you'd speak to our hearts and move amongst us and convict us where we need to be convicted. And Father, you'd help me to be able to preach your word in a way that is pleasing to you. And Father, that it would be effectual and a blessing to your people. And just pray for your help and ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, the importance of telling people about Jesus. You know, in times past, God sent angels to speak to individuals concerning himself. Even in the beginning of the gospel, you see he sent angels to, you know, say, hey, and to let people know that Jesus was going to be born. And throughout different times, you see that God would do that. But since the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, the privilege and duty of telling people about Jesus has been exclusively charged to God's people. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your acquaintances in this world will not hear the gospel from an angel. You know, that's not going to happen. Their best and perhaps their only hope is to hear about Jesus from you. I mean, again, we love to talk about the sovereignty of God, but sometimes we forget about our responsibility in relation to the sovereignty of God. You know, God designed you. He designed your life. He called you into salvation, and he worked all that out. We understand all that. We rejoice in that. But guess what? God places you in the places that with the people that that are in your life. All the people around you are no accident. That you are there for a reason, and it's to be a witness of God. It's to be a testimony of the glory of God. It's to be a testimony of what he did in your life and how he saved your soul and how he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you're to be a testimony of that. You're not just there to, you know, to go through the motions. You're not just there to, you know, to live your life and forget about everybody that's around you. You know, your purpose is to glorify God with your life, to be a shining testimony of God and his work in your life. And who else can do that but you? Who else can be the light that God has given you but you? Who else can be you? And Jesus working in you and through you and being a testimony to the world. You know, sometimes we just kind of forget about that. But it's important that we tell people about Jesus. But we found notice, first of all, that Jesus changed the Samaritan woman's life. I mean, obviously, it wasn't just religion that she had. It wasn't just, she didn't just have, you know, religious obligation or whatever. You know, her life was changed, and that was what motivated her. That's why she wanted to go tell people about Jesus, because she had met Jesus for herself, and he had changed her life. You know, you think about that. If you're saved here today, you remember when Jesus saved your soul, and you remember how wonderful that was, and how you wanted to tell other people about that. That's not forced. That's not you're not obligated to do that. You just want to do that. I want to go tell people about Jesus. I want to tell people what he did for me. You know, but somewhere along the way, we kind of get to this place in life where I don't know what happens to us. We get self-absorbed. We get kind of selfish. We get kind of like focused on our own life, and we sort of forget about telling people about Jesus. We walk by countless numbers of people, and we don't even think about telling about Jesus. You know, what happens? What happens to us? But it's important that we maintain that. But we see the woman had a real life-changing salvation experience. This is of great importance to notice, because this is what produces a real desire to tell other people about Jesus. Listen, if you're not saved and you're trying to tell people that they need to be saved, that's going to be really forced, isn't it? You know, if you've got religion and you've got a profession, you know, I made a profession when it's such and such a time in my life. And, you know, I've been religious and I've been all these things, but inside of my heart, I'm really not saved. And you're trying to tell people about Jesus. That doesn't work too good, does it? I mean, there's not a whole lot of conviction there, is there? There has to be a reality of salvation. There has to be a reality in your life, something that you're passionate about, something that you're excited about, something that you believe with all your heart. And you're telling other people about that. Do you remember? I remember when I was first saved. Do you remember that new zeal you had? You didn't know much of anything, but you knew Jesus saved you. and you were excited to tell people about Jesus. And you had a whole lot of passion about that. A whole lot of excitement about that. And you know what? You probably got people to come to church, didn't you? You probably got people to listen to you. Probably people were like, they really believe this. They're believable, because you did. You believed. You were excited, right? Well, somewhere along the way, we kind of get to this place like, they're not going to believe me anyway. So, you know, and it kind of, the way that we witness kind of goes downhill, doesn't it? And we lose that zeal. We lose that new innocence, that faith that we had. And we just say, if they could just hear about Jesus, like I heard about Jesus, that would change their life. And we kind of lose that somewhere along the way. They're not going to believe me anyway. What's the point? You know, but we need to be careful not to lose that. Not to lose that heart, that desire, that love to tell people about Jesus. That's the number one thing. The number one thing, you know, in our lives and as far as what we do. You know, we just need to be telling people about Jesus. And that's it. If we can just get back to that and doing that, what a blessing it would be in our lives and the lives of others. But if nothing but religion happened to you, then you'll have nothing but religion to share with others. You know, a lot of people want to share their religion. They want you to, you know, join with them in their religion, you know, in their religious things, you know. And if that's all you got, then that's all you're going to share. But if you've really met with Jesus and he saved your soul, you've got something to tell people. You've got something to tell them. And you need to just tell them about that. Tell them about how Jesus saved your soul. Tell them about how Jesus rescued you from a life of sin and misery and all the things that you were involved in. And tell them about how he rescued you from that. And he gave you a new life in him. Listen, that's what we got to tell people. Remember that for yourself. Remember the blessing of salvation. Remember that somebody told you about Jesus. Remember that somebody was willing to come to you and tell you about Jesus. And we need to remember that. We need to remember what a blessing that was in our life when finally we believed the gospel and Jesus saved our souls. But if we are truly saved, we have that desire. Look in Romans chapter 1, Romans 1, and we're going to be coming back to John chapter 4, but we're going to turn over to Romans 1 for a minute. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul says here, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I mean, when's the last time you felt like that at work about your coworkers or wherever you're at in the world? As much as in me is, I just want to tell this person about Jesus. Well, if you felt like that, guess what? You probably would tell them about Jesus, wouldn't you? But that's what we need to feel like. As much as in me is, with everything that's in my heart, I want to tell this person about Jesus. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, we're not ashamed of the gospel as far as if you're saved. You're not ashamed of it as far as as far as what it is and in the blessing of it. But you are, there are times probably that you're afraid of the rejection, and you're afraid of the persecution, and you're afraid of what the world might think. And in that way, you show some shame of the gospel. We need to be careful that we're not ashamed of the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen, you have the truth of God. You have the truth of salvation. You have the truth of Jesus Christ. You have the truth of His Word. What do you have to be ashamed for? Why do you care if the world thinks you're nuts? Why do you care if the world thinks you're crazy? Why should we care when you have what they need? Why do you care? Why do we care? But we do. We have this problem, of this problem of not wanting to be rejected by the world. Well, listen, the world doesn't like you. If you're a Christian, they're going to reject you. And the more that you tell them about Jesus, the more that they're going to reject you. But listen, they need to hear about Jesus. And we need to not be ashamed of the gospel. We need to tell them about Jesus. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the way that faith is communicated. From your faith to their faith. That's how it's communicated. You communicate what God has revealed to you, and He uses that, and He works it into their heart, and grants them that gift of faith, and then they believe, you see? That's how it's communicated. The just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. We see that she had this desire, because Jesus had really worked in her heart. We notice that Jesus dealt with her sin there in verses 15 down through 18. That's the first thing that's got to be dealt with if you're going to be saved. If you're lost here today, you can't get around this problem of sin. Sin is the problem, and sin is the reason why we need a Savior. Sin is that which is going to bring you to death. That's why your body is getting older. That's why you're going to, you get sickness. That's why there's disease, and that's why you're going to die one day, except that Jesus come first. But that's the process. Why does it happen? It's because of sin. Sin came into the world, and death came into the world. You see, when God created all things in the beginning, He didn't create death. He created all things, and He said, "Behold, it is very good." And guess what? Then Adam sinned. And in that sin, death came into the world. And then death passed upon all men. So we've inherited not only the death of Adam, we've inherited the sin of Adam. That is the problem. And so that has to be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with. The only one that can save you from your sins is Jesus. That's why we need a Savior. Jesus, He's the only one that can save you from your sins. It's through His death and His burial and His resurrection. It's by faith in that you're saved. It's by looking to Jesus. So, but we see that He dealt with her sin in verses 15 through 18 there. The woman saith unto Him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Everybody wants to be saved. Nobody wants to go to hell, right? And everybody's like, and you say, "Hey, do you want to go to heaven?" "Well, yeah." "Well, do you want to go to hell?" And you say, "No." "Well, all you got to do is do that." "Well, wait a minute. No, first thing we need to do is address sin." And she's like, "Yeah, give me the living water. I want that." And He says, "No, we need to deal with something first. Sin. Sin has to be dealt with first here." And she says, "Yeah, give me the living water." And in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly." The woman saith unto Him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." But He dealt with the issue of sin first, didn't He? Before you can have the living water, you've got to deal with that issue of sin. You can't, go around that. This is the reason you need to be saved. It's because of sin. We notice also that Jesus rebuked her religious error and instructed her in true worship. There's only one way to God, and that's through the truth of Jesus. The truth of His Word. There's no other way. You can't just make up your own way. You can't make up a God in your mind, a way of salvation in your mind, and say, "Hey, that's the way I'm going to heaven." People think that way. They think, "Well, I'm just saved my own way." Well, no, you're not saved your own way. That's idolatry. There's one way, and that's through Jesus. And so there's a true way to God, and it's through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so He dealt with her religious error. And that's another thing we have to deal with. You can't just have God your way. The only way to come to God is His way. And so Jesus addressed that with her. You can't worship God in a false way. You have to worship Him in a true way. And verse 25 and 26 there. verses 19 through 24. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You know, this is our tradition. This is our place of worship. This is how we do things. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say, that is, she's addressing him as a Jew. And ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. You're worshiping in ignorance. You're worshiping a made-up way, a made-up system, a made-up approach to God. He says, you're worshiping, you know not what. You worship, you know not what. We, that is, speaking of himself as a Jew, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And so he dealt with this issue of her religious error. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no other way. Two capacities. Saved gives you the Spirit of God, the ability to worship him in spirit, and in truth, the Word of God. The word of God. Those two things. You need to be saved, and you need the Word of God. You know, and you've got to hold to those things and worship him in the actual truth of who he is, and in accordance with his word. And so there is no other way. So that's a great problem in the world today is religious error. You know, that has to be dealt with and addressed. Sin has to be addressed. A false approach unto God that tries to deal with sin, that's got to be addressed. You can't. There's no other way but Jesus. And so that he addressed that issue with her. And then we see that there's this Jesus revealed himself to her in a saving way in verses 25 and 26. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. See, he revealed himself to her in a saving way, in a way that communicated salvation to her soul. Before this whole conversation, she wasn't saved. Even though she was talking with Jesus, she could see Jesus. There he was in person. She was having this conversation with him. But up till that point where he says, I that speak unto thee am he, she wasn't saved. But once he revealed himself in that way, she was saved. From that point, her heart was changed. Her life was changed. Everything about what she formerly knew about herself and about her life, about eternity, it all changed the day that Jesus revealed himself to her in the saving way. But he says, I am the one you've heard about. I am the one you're looking for. I am the one you need. I am the living water. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Savior. I am he. You know, that changed your life. That changed your life. If you're saved here today, you remember. You remember that day when you believed in Jesus. You remember that day when he revealed himself different than all the other times you heard about Jesus. All the other times in Sunday school, and all the other times growing up in church, and all the other times that somebody witnessed to you in the world, and all the other times you heard about him, maybe on the radio or wherever you heard about him. But then one day you heard about him in a way that you never heard about him before, even though it was the same things you'd heard. But it was in a way that you'd never heard it before. And Jesus spoke it himself. He revealed himself to you in the truth of his word. And he revealed himself to you in a saving way. What a blessing. What a blessing when Jesus does that. But this special revelation of Jesus brought about repentance, faith, and a new life. It always does. Always does. Repentance, faith, and a new life. Those are the things that always come with salvation. You know, you're going to be brought to a place of repentance concerning your sin. No more excuses for sin. No more trying to earn your way out of sin somehow. No more religious error concerning sin. You know, you're going to repent of not only your sin, but also of your self-righteousness. You repent of those things. And then there's faith in Jesus. You're just resting in him. You're just relying upon him. You're not trusting in going to church, and you're not trusting in baptism, and you're not trusting in any religious thing you've done or anything any motion you've went through, but you're simply resting in Jesus. You're resting in Jesus. You're at peace with God because of Jesus. You know that you're saved because of the assurance of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. You know, and so you have that faith in Jesus, and that changes your life. It changes your life. Listen. If you say that you've met Jesus somewhere along the way and your life never changed, I'm afraid you never met him. Because Jesus is a life changer. He will change your life. Changes your life. And so, notice here in verse 28 there, it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. But she left that old way, didn't she? She left the old way of doing things. She forgot all about it. And she went a new way. But she left her water pot. In this, we see a demonstration of repentance from her old life. We see a demonstration of faith in the living water. I don't need the old water anymore. I've got the living water in Jesus. And we see a new way of life in Jesus. The old way that of going about life, the old way of gathering up, you know, my life is different now. I don't have to gather it up and try to hold on to it the way I used to. I have living water in Jesus. But leaving the old way of this life is essential. It's essential evidence that salvation is real. I mean, it's not optional. I say this, and I've said it. I think I even said it during the conference. But you can't have Jesus in your old life too. You can't have your sin and have Jesus too. It's Jesus in Him alone. It's Him. You can't add Him to your life as some sort of an accessory. But you can have your old life, or you can have Jesus instead. And so you see that she wanted Jesus instead, and it changed her life. But 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And it should, shouldn't it? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. I wonder, do we believe that today? That we ought not to live for ourselves, but that we should be living for Jesus instead? Should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so there certainly should be a new life. There should be a new life in Jesus. And she had this new life. Okay? So that brings us to the second thing. And that brings us into why. Why she wanted to tell people about Jesus. You know, you ever talk to somebody and they don't know, why are you talking to me about this? Why do you want to talk to me about this? What's in it for you? You know? And that's the way that people think, you know. Nothing's for free in this world. And they think, what are you trying to sell me? What are you trying to get out of me? What are you doing? You know, people get all offended and they're like, what are you trying to get out of me? Nothing. I just want the Lord to save your soul. You know, I just want you to be saved. That's all I want. That's why she wanted to tell people about Jesus, because he'd saved her soul, and she wanted other people to have that. You see, when God saves your soul, he not only does he put a love in you for Jesus, for God, but he puts a love in you for others. He puts a concern in you for others that you never had before. You care about people. You care about people walking down the street, and you see them in a horrible, miserable life, and it hurts your heart that they're like that. They're stuck in that life, and you're like, oh. They need to hear about the Lord. They need Jesus. And before, you wouldn't have cared. You wouldn't have cared about that person. You're too busy about worrying about yourself. I don't care about that person. I'm busy with my life. What do I care about them? You know? But when Jesus saves your soul, it gives you a concern for others. That's a great evidence that you're saved today. That he put a concern in your soul for other people. That you care about other people. That you want them to be saved too. See, that's the love of God in your heart. He's given you his kind of love for people. And you want them to be saved. And so you have a desire. You have a desire for their salvation. But she wanted to tell people about Jesus. Verses 28 and 29 there. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She got out of there and she wanted to tell about Jesus. But the first thing she wanted to do after she was saved was tell others about Jesus. You know, that's the first thing I did. The day I was saved, I went home. You know, I went home and I told my wife. I said, the Lord saved me. And she did not believe me. You know, she was like, no, I don't believe you. You know, but she'd been going to church a while, and she was talking to me about salvation, and I came home, and I didn't go through the religious motions I was supposed to. I was just sitting there in the pew and quietly, you know, believing the gospel and quietly praying to the Lord in my heart, and He saved me. And that wasn't the status quo for where we used to go. You know, the status quo was you had to raise your hand, you had to look up, you had to do something. You know, I was just sitting there, and the Lord saved me. And so I came home and said, I'm saved. And she says, ah, you know, but I never got over it. You know, you've heard preachers say that before, right? I never did get over it. And my life from then, it was never the same. And it's been consistently different. And let me tell you, there's been times in my life when you probably could have looked at me and said, I don't think that guy's saved. You know, but the Lord keeps working on him. He keeps working on people. He keeps working on you if you're saved. And He doesn't leave you alone. And He keeps bringing you along. He keeps bringing you along. And you are where you're at today because the Lord has brought you to that place. And he's still working in you. And He's still working in me. You know, and that's what He does. He still works in His people. But He brings us to that place of salvation. And He keeps working in us. But I went home, told my wife about it. She went home and no doubt she told, you know, she just told everybody she knew. She told everybody she knew about Jesus. And that was the first thing that she wanted to do, was tell others about Jesus. No one told her or made her feel obligated or guilty if she did not. You know, isn't that sometimes it's almost like we get to this place where we're not witnessing like we should, and we come to church and we kind of feel guilty about it, and we think, well, I should. You know, what happened to I want to? You know, what happened to I want to go tell people about Jesus? Not, well, I really should. Yeah, I should do that. It should be a... Nobody told her. You know, the disciples come on the scene and she just... She slipped away. Forgot her water pot and everything, ran straight home and told him about Jesus. That's what she did. Nobody made her do that. She wanted to do that. You know, and so she ran home and she told people about Jesus. That's what she did. And that's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to desire. It shouldn't be anything forced or out of obligation or out of duty, but that we just want to. We want to go tell people about Jesus. She slipped away so quietly that she left her water pot in a hurry to take off and tell people that she knew about Jesus. That new zeal and that new faith, that new love, is such a wonderful thing, you know, that a believer experiences. It's because it's true and real, and you know, it isn't forced. It's just, Jesus saved me, and I want to go tell everybody else about Jesus. If they could just hear about Jesus the way that I did, and God puts that love in your heart for Him and for people. But you know, this is a choice. This is a choice blessing. You know, that, and this is one that Jesus loves best in the hearts of His people, is that when they love the gospel, when they love Jesus, when they love to tell people about it. But read in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. So Jesus is addressing the church at Ephesus, very doctrinally sound church. You know, they love the truth. They didn't tolerate error. You know, they were serving and they were bearing things for His namesake. But He gets down to verse 4 there and He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And notice, I mean, what is this first love? Well, it's the first kind of love, and it's the first love we experience concerning Jesus. It's the first kind of love we experience concerning others. And then what did it produce? It produced works of love, didn't it? What were the first works of love? Telling people about Jesus, you know? And if a church gets to a place where they forget that, you know, they're in danger of losing their candlestick. They're in danger of kind of fading away. You got to tell people about Jesus. That's the heart of things. That's the heart of things. And Jesus loves it, you know, when we have that kind of love in our heart. That's a choice blessing, you know, when we love to tell people about Jesus. But love for Jesus, love for the gospel, and love for others is something that we can't do without. This was her first natural spiritual reaction, not natural as in the flesh, but it came by the spiritual nature, the new spiritual nature she'd been given. It was natural for her. She wanted to do it. And so, you know, you need to ask yourself, do I want to tell people about Jesus? You know, that should be part of our salvation, is a natural desire to want to tell people about Jesus. This is the best kind of witness, one that's full of love and faith and convincing zeal. I mean, think about it. Do you believe somebody that doesn't really believe or doesn't really care about what they're trying to convince you of? You know, we have to believe what we're talking about, and we have to love what we're talking about, and we have to be excited about it. I mean, you talk about things you're excited about. You know, some people like to fish, some people like to hunt. You know, and you go catch a great big fish, and you're showing everybody in the world a picture of the stupid fish. You know, look at the fish I got. It's this, you know, but what about Jesus? You know, what about Jesus? Now, we need to be excited about Jesus, like we were when we were first saved. Like you were when you were first saved. That I can't wait to tell people about Jesus. If they could just understand about Jesus the way that he's showed himself to me, it would change their life, you know. But we need to get back to that. We need to maintain that kind of love for telling people about Jesus. Because she was convinced that Jesus is the Savior, she was a very convincing and compelling witness. There in verse 29, come see a man, you know. When's the last time you said, come down to, you know, Home Baptist Church. Come down to Home Baptist Church. Jesus meets with his people there. You come down to Home Baptist Church and you'll hear the Word of God. You'll hear their gospel. Come down to Home Baptist Church, you know. When's the last time? Or when's the last time that you went to somebody and said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, we need to do that. We need to get to that place again. And come back to that place where we're telling people about Jesus the way that we should. But she was convinced, you know. She was convinced. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, surely he is. Surely this is the one you need. This is the one you've heard about. Here he is, and this is the one you need. And she was very convincing. She obviously was convincing because they came. They came. They believed what she said. And obviously God used her witness to work that in their hearts. But that brings us to the last thought then. Many people believed in Jesus as a result of her witness. You know, we kind of get to this place where I don't know if anybody's ever going to believe. Listen, God still uses his word. He still uses the gospel. It's still his way to use his people to tell other people about Jesus. It's still his way today. He hasn't changed any. That's still how he does things. But we notice that many people believed in Jesus as a result of her witness. There in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. I mean, they believed her. The Lord was using her witness, using her testimony. He was using that, and he was working in the lives of other people. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. They went and sought him out for themselves because of her witness, because of her testimony to them. Look in verses 39 down through 42. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. God's way of salvation is through the communication of the gospel by the witness of his word through his people. I mean, that's how he does things. His people take his word and they witness. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, every one of God's elect is going to be saved, but every one of them is going to hear. Every one of them is going to hear about Jesus. And they need to hear so that they can believe. And that's our part. We tell them about Jesus, and he takes that and he uses that. That communication of the gospel works that to the salvation of souls. There in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. People have to hear, don't they? You know, we understand that, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, but you got to hear, don't you? Hear. That's how God ministers that faith. It's by the hearing of the gospel. We got to tell people about Jesus. And as they hear it, just like you heard it one day, it worked in your heart, and God granted you faith through that message of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's way. Still God's way today. The communication of the gospel. So God was pleased to use the Samaritan woman's witness of Jesus to save many souls in Samaria. Back in our text there of John 4, verse 30, as a result of her witness, they came to Jesus. And you can be certain that through your witness, some will come to Jesus. You notice there in verse 30, it says, Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Listen, people are going to come to Jesus. You just keep witnessing. You keep telling them the truth. You know, somewhere along the way, you might never know about it. You might never see him again. But God's going to use his word. You know, his word doesn't return unto him void, he says. And so you witness to them. You speak the word of God to them. And somewhere along the way, God's going to use that word in their life. And there are going to be people that come to Jesus. One day, you know, no doubt we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to see a whole lot of people that we testified to that we didn't have any idea how that worked in their heart. You know, they're going to come. People are going to come. They're going to come to Jesus. And so you just keep witnessing to them. You keep telling them about the Lord. Verse 39 there of John 4. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, notice, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Notice, it was her unique testimony of how Jesus saved her that had an effect on them. This is what happened to me. This is how Jesus saved me. This is how Jesus changed my life. And she testified of specifically how Jesus worked in her life. Listen, don't underestimate the power of the testimony that God has given you. God gave you that testimony for a reason. Use it. Tell people how that Jesus saved you. Listen, this is what happened to me. You know, this is how Jesus saved me. It was by believing in his word. It was by believing in his name. It was by believing that he died for me, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. It was by believing in those things. It was by confessing my sins as far as in agreement with God and realizing that I am a sinner and I do need a Savior. And it was through the truth of all those things that Jesus worked in my life. But what's the way that he worked? And I could tell you the whole testimony. I could tell you, you know, from the time that I was lost and the rotten life I lived. And I could tell you all the way through to my wife's testimony in my life. And her testimony was you need to be saved or you're going to die and go to the lake of fire. And there was her gospel to me. And let me tell you what, that worked on me. It worked on me. And I remember the day that I laid in the hospital after I got hit in the head, you know, with a big old rock from a dynamite blast. Lay in there and I thought to myself that night as I laid in the hospital alone, if I would have died, I would have went to hell. And it kept working on me. And it goes back to my wife's witness, working on me, kept working on me. And then later on, I came and I sat and I heard about Jesus. And he saved me, you see. You know, but you can see that, you know, you have a unique testimony of God working in your life. And you need to share that with people. Just like she did. She went and said, this is what Jesus did for me. This is how he changed my life. Don't underestimate that. God gave you that testimony for a reason. Use the testimony of your salvation to the glory of God. This is the reason it was given you. God gave you a life, and he gave you a testimony, and it's for the glory of God. Use it for that. That's why he gave you it. Look in John 9. I'll read you something here. John 9 and verse 1 through 3. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Not that they'd never sinned, but this isn't the reason. This man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You see, that his life was a testimony. And you read about all of those examples of in the Gospels of Jesus miraculously, you know, raising somebody up from some illness and some disease. And guess what? They had a unique testimony. The blind man said, he made it so I can see. The lame man said, he made it so I can walk. The leper said, he cleansed me, you see. And it was all about what Jesus did for me. And they have a wonderful testimony, don't they, about what Jesus did for them. Listen, we all have a testimony just like that. The day that Jesus saved me, this is what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about the Savior. Let me tell you about what he can do for you. And we need to use that testimony. Don't underestimate the testimony that God gave you. Use that. Tell people about Jesus and what he did for you. As they believed, they came. This is always the case. You know, people will come. In verse 40 there of John 4. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. But they came. They came, and this is always the case. You know, when someone believes, and as they believe, they come to Jesus. And, you know, they don't just sit there and wait to die. Listen, if you have faith in Jesus, you'll come. You'll come to Jesus. But this is always the case. And then in verse 41, notice this. This is interesting too. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. But many more believed because of his own word. So many more believed as an indirect result of her witness. Those that believed through her witness asked Jesus to stay. The result was many more people heard Jesus himself and believed him. Only in heaven will we know how many, how far reaching our testimony truly was. I mean, you know, this was sort of like an indirect thing, because here was the first people that came, you know, as a result of her testimony, and they said, they asked Jesus to stay some more. And guess what? Because of that further effect, then even more people were saved. And then they said to the woman, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And ultimately, this is how everyone believes. Through our witness, Jesus speaks to the souls of sinners, and they are saved. Just as we were spoken to by a personal revelation of Jesus. Through her witness, they actually ended up hearing Jesus himself. And that's how it works, and that's how we want it to work. We don't want it to be anything of ourselves. We want it to be all of Jesus. And if we simply testify of him and we tell people about him and what he's done, that he works in their hearts and he brings about the change. But there's nothing better than to know that what you have and believe is from Jesus himself and not from man. You don't want some religious thing that some person gave you. You don't want some assurance that some person gave you and said, now that you've done this religious thing, now you're saved. And here's the date and here's the thing and sign your name here and now you stick that in your Bible and here's your assurance. Listen, I don't want my assurance on a little piece of paper in my Bible. I want my assurance to be in my heart, because in knowing that the Holy Spirit indwells in me, and that's my assurance from God. That's the earnest. It's when the Holy Spirit, you know, it indwells you when you believe in Jesus. That's how you know you're saved. And so don't let a person say, "Hey, you're saved now because you've done this religious thing." No. Only Jesus can tell you you're saved. And he'll let you know when you're saved. And you can't miss that. And you know what? You won't have to have somebody else tell you you're saved. You'll be going to tell people that you're saved because of the Holy Spirit is giving you that assurance and telling you you're a child of God. But there isn't anything better to know that what you have is real. That is of God. And that's not of men. It's not of religion. But it's something that he did in your heart. And that's what ultimately happened. Through her witness, people believed. They were saved. Jesus did a work of God in their heart. And then they could say to the woman, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. See, that's the real kind of conviction. That's the real kind of faith that we need. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read a scripture there. 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 4 and 5. It says, Paul speaking to the Corinthians about his manner of how he came and presented the gospel to them. You know, so many people want to have a program or a way. You know, they have this stuff that they do. But Paul said, this is how I came. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I mean, that's the kind of salvation you want. That's the kind of faith you want. You want a faith that has been given to you of God, and that it stands in the power of God, and it doesn't stand in the wisdom of men. But Let's bring these things to a conclusion. The Samaritan woman believed on Jesus in a saving way. Therefore, she couldn't wait to go tell people about Jesus. I mean, that's what it boils down to. She was really saved, and so she really had a desire to tell people about Jesus. You know, and that's what it ought to be. It ought to be just about that simple with us. You know, the Lord saved your soul, and you ought to have a desire to go tell people about Jesus. And through her witness, many were saved. It still works the same way today. God still saves and uses the testimony of believers to save others. So when's the last time you told someone about Jesus and about how he saved your soul? But let's stop with that and turn the service back over to Brother Larry.